Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Restore half-year results presentation for the half-year ended 30th of June 2023. If I could ask that everyone remains on mute during the presentation, and there'll be an opportunity for a Q&A session at the end. And with that, I'll hand over to the presentation team today, which is Jamie Hopkins, Interim CEO, and Neil Ritchie, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Jack. Appreciate it. Good morning, everybody. Welcome and thanks for sparing the time to listen to us today. It's fair to say, just before we roll through the deck of slides, it's been a tough half for Restore. It's only been 6 weeks since CEO departed and we had our profit downgrade. And we said at the time, I think that the business was probably a little too hopeful with short-term expectations of growth. And having looked at the business quite closely since I've been here, I think what we need to probably do is be a little bit more respectful to some of the business lines within the overall group and how the quality of income is made up. So I think that is something I'd like to kind of run as a bit of a theme this morning. I'll come back to that a little bit later. But we're still on track for the full year 31. There'll be no sugarcoating of anything today. We just want to tell you exactly how it is, give you full clarity, provide some reassurance on where we are, reinstall some confidence. And whilst it's been a difficult, disappointing period, fundamentals of this business remain very strong. Restore is a great business. It's profitable. It generates cash. It's underpinned by long-term core revenue streams. And as I say, we're on track for the full year 31 that we talked about 6 weeks ago. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jamie Hopkins. I am the full-time interim CEO. And I have to say, along with the great team here at Restore, I feel that I've got a real grip on what's going on, even in the short time that I've been here. As I say, great team, has been very helpful, very supportive. What have I been doing? Well, the main thing I've been doing is everything I can for the stakeholders. And really the three main stakeholders I'm talking about there are the shareholders, the staff and the customers, and trying to really bring laser focus and clarity to the numbers, reinvigorate and rejuvenate the culture and the business energy here, and also provide some leadership and decision, which I think is obviously always important within businesses at all times. And on the point of leadership, obviously succession, business succession for Restore is something that I'm sure a lot of people want to talk about. And I would say right up front, we'll come back to it a little bit later. We jumped on that straight away. We're very, very, very focused on finding the right team to take Restore forward. You'll see we made two announcements today. One, obviously, the results, and another was that Mike Killick will be joining on Monday as the full-time interim CFO, which is fantastic news. I think Mike will be a huge addition to the interim situation. And obviously, we'll be providing more news on the long-term situation. As I say, I'll come back to some of that later on as well. So just turning to the slides, I think that the run of play this morning will be that I will give you a quick overview. I'll hand over to Neil to go through the financials, then back to me, and I'll provide a little bit more colour around those two areas. Firstly, succession, and secondly, more around that, what I call the income stack, the quality of income, the length and strength of the different income profiles within the business, which certainly is not trying to split the atom. It's not rocket science, but maybe it's a kind of logical and interesting way of looking at things in a different way. So just turning to this slide, I mean, the first few bullet points tell the story, really. Good performance in records management, good performance in the recurring income streams of digital, and a very strong year from the Harrow Green business. That's been offset by a weaker performance in technology, which is mainly the ITAD area, and we'll come back to that. And also some of the non-recurring, looser income within digital, which is mainly the bulk scanning. And as I say, we'll look at that when I go through that profile stack. Datashred isn't on these first few bullet points because even though we've got some paper pricing issues that we've referenced and we will talk about a little bit later, that really doesn't affect H1. It starts coming through in H2 and question mark how long and what happens to paper pricing going forward. You then go down to the adjusted PBT, which is the £15.1 million. Same points as above, you add in the interest costs, and that's what gets you to that number. 6 weeks ago, we referenced the fact that, we would be looking at some impairments across the business. We have put a non-cash impairment of $32.5 million through for Datashred. Let me just give you a quick snapshot of colour on that, and we'll talk more about it later. I mean, Shred is a very good business. It's just a smaller business. And I think from what I can see, COVID and the effects of working and all the things you can envisage right-sized that business. The impairment comes through lots of kind of technical analysis and modelling, mainly built up through a change in the discount rate, less volume, less tonnage of paper, and less visits. That's not to say that there's a lot of activity within Shred, and we think that business is now right-sized. We've still got £30 million of value on the balance sheet after this impairment or thereabouts, and it doesn't impact any of the distributor reserves, which leads to the next point, which is we're pleased to say that we're going to be paying a dividend, probably not the dividend that people may have expected a few months ago, but in line with the policy, in line with a pro rata drop down along with the kind of the rest of the numbers. And I really hope that the business can go back to its progressive dividend policy there on in. The balance sheet is looking very strong, about around £100 million of the debt, good cash, no issues with covenants whatsoever. So that's something we can certainly relax over at the moment. And really, that's the summary. I mean, it's been a tough period. I think the problems that we found, mainly in technology and digital, less so in Shred because we can't really control that, are probably also the plan that we have ahead. They are the areas we need to focus on, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. As I say, we're unchanged on our £31 million outlook, and I think it's a good base for this business to grow. Just before I hand it to Neil, I guess digging slightly deeper into the same story and going through each of the five businesses one by one, but very quickly. Record management, as I say, in good shape, still requires a very sharp focus and lots of hands moving levers forward every day to make sure that business really does perform as it has been. Some great business wins, as we've announced before, a very, very strong focus on cost management and success in putting price increases through. A little bit of an increase in some of the disruptions in records management, but that's not a trend that we think is going to be long term, and actually provides some revenue stream and also gives us more capacity across the estate. So again, I'll talk a little bit more about that. So generally in good shape. I think digital is in mixed shape. Solid revenue, the revenues that we have recurring are very solid, but the non-recurring contracts, as I touched on, mainly the scanning, have dropped off. That's probably a strategic and sales issue that we need to look at. And we've got a good order book, and we'll come a little bit back to that a little bit more later, but that's definitely something we need to put some focus on. Same story with technology. I think technology mixed shape. And the main issue here is definitely the ITAD area. Other parts of the business are performing incredibly well. Some of our specialist secure destruction, some of your kind of asset imaging and some of the regular work is performing well. It all comes down to that ITAD trading business. And there, I think it is much more of a strategic lens we need to put on that and decide which direction, if any, we need to go on. Datashred, I would say, is in mixed shape, partly because of the paper pricing. If it wasn't for that, then obviously, as I referenced earlier, it's a good business. It's just a smaller business, but I think it's leveled off. We need to look at paper pricing. We need to see if we can do anything about that. And we need to make sure that business is right-sized enough and cost-effective enough that if paper prices are low, it still makes a good profit. So then when paper prices move forward, it really does benefit. Harrow Green, performing in line with expectation, easy to just turn the page on that comment. I just want to make sure that we do respect the fact that Harrow Green is in great shape. It's a great brand. I think it's a great little business. But again, laser focus. We need to grow in specialist areas. And the income there, just think about when you move house, the income there is not long-term recurring. So again, we just need to make sure we're fully respectful of how and long and the quality of the income in all of these businesses, but generally has performed very, very well. I think has a great future.
Yeah, thank you. To you. Thanks, Jamie. Good morning, everyone. As Jamie was setting out, we have a complex set of results. There are a lot of moving parts in the first half. And as Jamie set out, really the key highlights are, just to repeat them, you know, good performances in records management, Peregrine, DataShred. Successful implementation of price increases, that's a theme that you're going to see coming through, and that is offsetting inflationary pressure. Good performance in the recurring income streams that James is going to speak to a lot more later in digital, but the non-recurring bulk scanning projects in digital are lapping high compare and also under a bit of reduction in the second quarter. Again, we'll cover that. That's offset by the weak IT asset recycling income in Restore Technology, which has some other income streams that are performing fine, but really the sale of recycled assets has been a struggle since Q4 last year, and that's coming through strongly in the H1 performance. And just to remind you, elsewhere in the group, we are of course carrying a higher interest cost, not because of the level of debt, but because interest rates have risen substantially since H1 2022. So you'll see that in some of the bridges we cover. And then finally, as Jamie said, the other major movement in numbers is the review of the holding value of the DataShred investment, which really is relating back to the 2016 acquisition of PHS and a reassessment of the discount rate that we use in our complex financial models and a reassessment of long-term volume and activity levels in that business. It makes money, but probably not growing to the extent that we'd previously expected. Finally, before we get into the numbers, you know, we remain, you know, highly cash generative, debt's down, cash conversion rates are very good. And as James said, we'll be awarding an interim dividend, which I'll come on to in terms of the details around that just now. So, on the income statement, the headlines here, revenue 139.6 against 140.3 last year. A lot of moving parts within that, which I'll come on to with a bridge on the next page of the deck. It is reflecting positive performances in records management, Peregrine DataShred offset by technology. It's the key pluses and minuses. EBITDA at 38.3 million for the first half, I think is strong. That said, it is down 5% because of those trading effects that we're describing through the different business units. And that gap against last year is slightly increased again when you get to adjusted profit before tax for two reasons. One is the higher interest burden that the group's carrying between the EBITDA and the PBT line. In addition, the sort of non-cash IFRS 16 charges around dilapidations and provisions for repair to the estate have increased year on year as well. And looking at the statutory loss for the period, that's reflective of the 32.5 million adjustment that we've posted on the DataShred holding value. And without that, we would have been at about 6.6 statutory profit for the period. Final thing to say on this is in respect of the dividend. So we are going to award an interim dividend of 1.85 pence, which will be paid on the 20th of October to shareholders who are on the register at the 22nd of September. So that's the dividend. So moving into a bit more sort of graphical interpretation of the period-to-period performance, the top chart is the revenue bridge. I think just emphasises what's happening within the business units. And so you see records management posting a positive result compared to its performance last year of plus 3.4. And that's coming about from net box growth of 0.4% and price increase. Digital is minus 5.4 in revenues for the period, and that's largely relating to a very good contract that we had last year that doesn't recur at 5.3 million, and a softening in other non-recurring bulk scanning work that Jamie is going to cover in these income stacks. We'll get into that later. Our technology revenues only down 0.9 million, but the quality of revenues in technology was weak. So whilst we have been collecting assets for recycling and the midlife services have been good and the secure destruction work has been good in technology, the quality of assets that we're recycling is less good than it was last year. We like laptops, we like desktops, and we've seen a lower proportion of good kits coming through. Our DataShred performed well, bit of price, bit of activity coming through their number. As Jamie said, just we're concerned on the H2 for a data shred, really, with paper prices having significantly reduced through July and into August. And then Harrow Green has had some really good revenue activity, particularly in London. Now, looking at it from a profit perspective, price increases have added 5.8 in the first half. And obviously, that will continue into the H2 numbers, and in fact, we'll get a bit of a tailwind on the price increases in H2. That is offsetting inflation. Inflation in our business comes from people, property, energy costs. So our prices are offsetting inflation. Activity reduction is a combination of that non-recurring work in digital and also the effect of the asset quality and technology. So that's the big minus of minus six in the period-to-period results. Bank interest is a headwind of 1.9 year-to-year, and then other positive effects is that we have to reset certain provisions because of the share price and incentive schemes and so on, that gives us a plus of 1.3. That gets us from the 20.9 to the 15.1. So, but as I said, there's a lot of moving parts through these numbers, and I hope the disclosure helps here. And if you go to the RNS, you can see this tabulated, and it's in the disclosure there also. Moving into the division, so really just a bit more repetition of what we said previously. In records management revenue, you see plus 6% pricing, box growth, digital minus 17%, and that's a reflection of the shrinkage in the non-recurring income. At a profit level for the division, as you see, we're down from 24.6 to 20.9. That's the effect of the digital income dropping through. So records is growing. Digital has shrunk in profit, and that's primarily because we had a very good year last year in digital, albeit we are seeing shrinkage in some of the non-recurring revenue streams through Q2. But that's the operating margin reduction. It's really attributable to digital. In respect of secure lifecycle services, if you remember, it contains technology, DataShred and Harrow Green. DataShred and Harrow Green performing well. As I said, Harrow Green has a good set of numbers in London. DataShred overall, very, very well run business. Activity within the network is okay. There's fairly high churn, but it's okay. Duncan's got a good grip on that. A bit of price increase in Shred. But technology is really struggling with asset quality. I know we've repeated this several times now, but there are other income streams in that business. But the ITAD business is the one that's struggling. And you see that coming through the operating margin reduction from 5.6 to 3.3. And really, I'd expect that margin for this business division to be well north of 10%. And at 6.1%, that's reflective of the performance in technology. So moving away from the income statements into cash flow, which is always a bit of a highlight, I think, for the group as a whole. It's been another good cash performance for the group. The conversion of profit to cash is running at 84%, which is a good statistic. Net debt reduced by 5.6 million to 97.9 million at the end of the period, and that gives us a leverage of 1.8 times EBITDA, well within the covenant range, with a cap on the EBITDA coming to 3 times. It is a feature of the group. It does generate cash, and it's good to see that continue in H1. And another comment on this, and you see my bullet points, the last couple of bullet points here, is that really, as a result of the last two or three years work on improving the quality of our debt structures, and we have the banks on the call today, and also Precoa, who have joined us by providing us a USPP of 25 million, which fixes a proportion of that 100 million of debt that we have. And in addition, we have commenced hedging a proportion of the floating facility, such that we have about 50% of our debt now onto fixed interest rate products, which obviously gives us more certainty, and we don't look to make money out of money, but it does provide certainty, which I think is important for the group. Regards to the balance sheet, look, the thing on the balance sheet is that all of the ordinary ratios continue to be good. You know, the debtor days at the same level as previous periods, the creditor base, same level as previous periods, net worth and capital ratios, gearing ratios, all those things for the group are strong. The major change in the balance sheet you see in non-current assets at the top, which is the effect of that 32.5 million valuation adjustment on DataShred, which, as I've said before and Jamie said, is really an effect of cost of capital change, reassessment of volumes and activity levels in the business. It does make money, but it's not projected to grow to the extent that we'd had previously expected. So there is a remaining carrying value, as James said, of around 30 million on that company. But I think it's right to adjust it to reflect where we think it's now settling post-COVID. So the one final slide for me is just to, you know, keep us honest on adjusting items. You know, so abnormal, there's not a lot through here other than the big impairment of intangible assets you'd expect to see on adjusting items of 32.5. Amortization running along the same sort of rate as it has done in previous periods. Acquisition related costs are low because we haven't bought anything substantial in the period. Restructuring provisions of 1.0 million relates to reorganisation of people that we called out, and we, as I said previously, we are looking to save £5 million within this financial year, primarily as a result of organisation and site restructuring, and that's the first part of the provisioning of cost on that. And finally, we have strategic IT programmes in play, primarily the consolidation of our 5 or 6 finance platforms that we run across the group, and we're consolidating onto one Microsoft platform, and that's costs associated with that. So that's sort of the wrap up on the financial performance for the first half, and I'll pass back to Jamie.
Thank you very much, Neil. That's great. So yeah, two things I'm going to cover here, which I think, if I were in your shoes, would probably be the two big questions, obviously succession management generally, and also this quick look at what I call the kind of revenue stack. And the reason I think that's an interesting thing to look at is because I think it highlights probably the problem that we've had and also the potential plan and opportunity that we have going forward. So just kind of bear with me on the thesis, and we can obviously take Q&A afterwards as well. So just looking at succession, I guess what's the story here? The story here is that we acted immediately and decisively. The business is currently in dedicated and I think very experienced hands, and we want to make sure that continues without any gaps whatsoever. And obviously it was great to announce today Mike joining on Monday, which is kind of one sequence in that statement. Just going down, Sharon has obviously changed from non-exec chair to exec chair. That happened straight away 6 weeks ago when we made our initial announcement. It's fully committed to make sure she sees everything through in terms of the business and where it is now. Myself, I'm full-time interim, and I again jumped into that position straight away 6 weeks ago. I've got the time, I've got the energy, I've got hopefully the track record and some experiences to help here, and I'm certainly enjoying the time here working with the group and the team, just trying to cut through everything. That said, the formal succession process also kicked off straight away. We've accelerated that process. We're already at interview stage, and it would be great to be able to bring more news sooner rather than later with regard to permanent situation, which would be great. On the CFO side, obviously Neil is here, and thanks ever so much for all your efforts. I think Neil resigned in June, so he's working through to the end of December. Obviously Mike joining on Monday, there'll be a handover, there'll be an orderly, you know, swap over of responsibilities, and Neil will continue to run a few things that are already in play, which I think make complete sense, so that's really good. But again, that when Neil did resign, we also kicked off the permanent CFO search straight away, and we're along this stage. So I really do think we've made good progress, and I think that hopefully we can bring news forward sooner rather than later. So I guess what would I say? This is me trying to dig into the income and maybe apply a little bit of logic, shine a slightly different light on this revenue stack. And I can appreciate that you've seen kind of other donut graphs and different segments for the business. Well, that the approach I've taken is just having one, which is on the left-hand side, which is the whole of the group. And if we just start down here and we talk about this revenue stack, what I'm trying to do here is really look at the strength and the length of the income quality within this business. So if we start with the green, the storage income, we've got Box's online hosting product. So very solid long-term recurring income. You'll see it in records management, you'll see it in digital, and you'll see some in Harrow Green. Then you move down to the lighter green, recurring services. So this is multi-year services, outsourcing and network contracts. So again, very sticky, long-term, a lot of the similar customers in records management, digital, and we've got digital. And also we've got long-term contracts, obviously, in Datashred. Relocations really flips over to the right-hand side, which is all Harrow Green. I made the point earlier, fantastic brand, fantastic business, very dedicated team, very impressive to see what they've been doing. But let's not forget that that isn't recurring income that is sticky. We have to fight for it year on year. And I think that needs to be noted and respected. Then we move into what I call the looser income, which is the non-recurring services. So we've won something that year, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to repeat that business. And we've got that in records management, digital technology and Datashred. Now, I think I'd make the point here that of that non-recurring service dark blue line, the quality of the income within there also would fluctuate. Records management probably has stronger recurring year-on-year services than, say, technology does. So the dark blue within itself, I didn't want to have too many different categories, but probably across those four ticks has a different quality. And then we get down to the really, really kind of sharp end of trading income, which really comes down to paper in Shred and this IT asset remarketing, the ITAD part of technology. So that's the stack, and that's how I've looked at it. And if you look at the graph above, I mean, I've put these two in just so that you can connect it back to the segments, but I'm not particularly focused on those two circles. The big one is what I'm interested in. So if you then look at that, and you take the green and the grey, you get to a kind of 66-34 split of what I would call very, very strong, reliable, branded revenues versus the two blue patches, which are less so. The comments I make about the 24% dark blue, the fact that you know, records management, Shred probably has much stronger recurring, let's say you take 10% of that out. So you end up with a 75-25% split, which feels, and I said to you right at the beginning, I'm not trying to split the atom here, which feels about right, and it kind of connects well with what the business has said in the past. But what I do think this does, and maybe it's my own benefit and logic, it does start to show where the issues have occurred in terms of a business thinking that all revenue streams and all business lines will potentially grow at the same levels. Obviously, COVID has had positive and benefit effects across the piece. We've seen changing dynamics. We've got overall macro headwinds. There's all sorts of things going on. But when it comes to just looking at the business lines, I think segmenting the income and actually forgetting that the kind of the five business units is quite a useful thing to do. And it does highlight, as I said right at the beginning, that the two blue boxes are where the problems occurred. And that's probably where the benefit and the plan needs to be focused. Because if we can get the right strategy in technology and we can get the sales function up and running again, it's not up and running, but actually working and circling around again on the scanning contracts in digital, then we're back to where we were. So that's, as I say, slightly self-indulgent, but hopefully useful as well. And trying to forget all the segments and just look at this business one by one. Probably worth now just cantering through the five business units. And now we're switching more to, I want you to understand that we have got our arms around the challenges. We are identifying what those challenges are. And also we have plans for H2. So we're on it at the moment. We've got our arms, I say, we're pushing hard, and we want to deliver success. Can I make statements about the kind of strategic future of every single line? No, I can't right now, but are we doing everything we possibly can on a day by day basis to get there? Absolutely. And as I said right at the beginning, I've given you confidence in the overall year number. So that was the first job of work. Records management, we said, great shape. I mean, let's not forget 40% of the revenue, 70% of the profit, high proportion of recurring revenue streams. Great contracts have been won. BBC, good example, and the good pipeline already, strong customer retention. And you can see that follows the donut on the right hand side. So majority of dark green, a little bit of light green. And then, as I said to you, even of the dark blue 21%, I think some of that is higher quality than the dark blue in some of the other divisions. challenges. We've seen a slight fall in project activity. I spent a lot of time with Nigel and the team there. We don't think there's any long-term trends emerging there whatsoever. Slightly higher destruction levels, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It gives you more capacity, but again, we're keeping an eye on that. And as you can see, net box growth is up. So that's the main thing. And we've just got to keep focused in the second half to make sure we keep converting new business, pushing through price increases where we can, and making sure, and I think we can accelerate, and this is something that I can probably help with just with some of my previous property experience in terms of actually right-sizing the estate and some of the costs around the whole of records management, because it does have a very, very big and very interesting infrastructure. Moving on to digital, let's look at the chart first of all. Again, you've got a lot more dark blue there, and it wouldn't be of the same quality as we've just seen in records management. So within that 39%, a lot of that is that bulk scanning that we've seen come off. Interestingly, a lot of that has been based around things like NHS restructuring. I mean, there's some fantastic customers that I've looked at in that business, and things could come back quite quickly. Whether they come back to the same levels, I'm not making any statements whatsoever, but there's, you know, we've got the infrastructure. There's a good order book already. You can see 233 new deals won, 10 new customer extensions. So there's real life there. But it's just making sure that we have the right sales, the right focus on the right customer base. And looking at the focus for the next 6 months, I mean, timing of delivery, strong cost management, things and site closure and flexibility. We've already closed a site up in Scotland and merged it with another one. We've just we're in the process of closing a site just outside London, which comes to a lease end, and we're going to spread that work across other sites, and there's a few other property-related and people-related cost savings and efficiencies that we're going to make very quickly. So actions are being taken. If you then look at technology, I think it's the only chart we've got here which doesn't have any green, which probably in itself tells the story. We've got 44% dark blue, 56% light blue, and this is all the ITAD area. As I say, we've got strong growth, as Neil mentioned, in some of the areas, the other areas of the business. We're consolidating where we can. But that ITAD business definitely needs some direction. It's looking at a weak and getting weaker market. And we put some information in the back of the slides here just to show that. So I think we need a direction for that element of the business. But in the meantime, It's still, you know, churning away. It's still doing what it does. So it's not that it's come to a grinding halt by any means. So we just need to keep very focused on that. Datashred, I mean, we've talked about really. It's an easier story, especially when you're looking at the donut. The danger there is obviously the paper pricing, the danger and the benefit. I said earlier, I think the right thing to do with that business is right size it. Which we're doing, get it as efficient as possible, get it really, really streamlined and very profitable off lower pricing for paper, and then make sure we benefit from increases rather than worry too much about decreases. There's not a lot we can do about that. I'm very focused on seeing whether we can hedge, fix, forward sell, but it's a little bit of a Wild West industry from what I can see, but we'll continue to keep focused on that. And then finally Harrow Green, which I've really talked about. There's its own little kind of grey donut, really, although it's interesting to note that we do have storage income within Harrow Green, and I think that's an area which is being focused on as a growth opportunity, which I think is good. Second bullet point down, we're starting to focus quite heavily now on newer specialist areas, which are higher margin and make complete sense. Like life sciences is going well. I guess the big challenge there is that you are at the vagaries of one-off construction projects or moves. And if those things get delayed for whatever reason, there's not a lot you can do about that. Certainly the comfort I have around the full year 31, there was one big transaction that Harrow Green had, which is very exciting, which is the first bullet point under H2 focus, which kicked off actually this Monday, so yesterday. So very exciting, good news for the year, and the team are doing a fantastic job there. I think that could be good, and I think there's a lot more to come. So I think that's the gallop through. I mean, it has been a frustrating time. I fully appreciate that. We all appreciate that. We're all doing everything we can to write it. And I think we're all aware on this call of the macro uncertainties, but I think there's internal strategic issues that need to be dealt with. I think I've tried to set them out to show that we've got our arms around them. They're isolated. Everything else is actually running very, very well. The fundamentals are strong. As I said right at the beginning, I think Restore is a great business. It's got great people. The energy levels here and the work focus is really, really great to see. It's profitable. It's generating cash. And as I say, hopefully that income stack that run through highlights what we already all really know, which is there's great core revenue within the business from very, very good customers, which is very long term. We just need to make sure we focus our attentions on making sure that is run as efficiently and as profitably as it can be, whilst also making sure that we're moving into areas that the business can go to make high margin and good revenue streams.